This episode of TMS is brought to you by TweakedAudio.com. Go get some fantastic earbuds and audio accessories and get them on the cheap. 33% off when you use the code STREAM at checkout at TweakedAudio.com. That's TweakedAudio.com and the checkout code STREAM. Coming up on TMS, T and Hodor kissing in a tree.
Aww. FX orders some X-Men spinoff.
JetBlue no like the shorty shorts.
Who does? Jace found guilty.
Trump is what shifting what?
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
No hamburgers, no pizza, no movies, no television, no pizza, no pizza, no pizza.
And I do consider myself a refined Valley dude.
This is the morning stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. Today is Wednesday, what day is it? 1st of June. June 1st, everybody.
June 1st. We are done with May. May is in the books.
Yeah, it had to be May is what we say now.
That's right, yes.
It's out. It's done. Now we move on with more sun, more more weird weeds that make me sneeze and make my eyes itch.
And me finally being able to get out on the bike.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Before TMS, yeah. It's starting to warm up enough to where I can do that.
Did you do it today?
No.
Oh, I thought maybe you kicked it off with the little...
The June 1st, that would have been a good first day to do it. No. Probably later this week. I think we're still... There's still enough of a chill in the air that I can't do it.
Well, it's perfect right now here, weather-wise. Like, it was absolutely dead perfect yesterday. It's like 75 degrees. It's beautiful, amazing. And then Tom's going to come into town, and it's supposed to be like 95.
Oh, jeez.
It's going to get warm. So
yeah, I'll say.
Tom and I sweating it out. We're just going to be sitting here in our like little shorty shorts, speaking of shorty shorts.
I can't wait to see those pictures.
Nah, it'll be time for the air conditioner if this happens, so it's fine. It's all fine. Anyway, cool. It's good to be here, everybody. Glad to be back. It's Wednesday. It's a new month. Let's make this month matter. Let's make it count.
Okay. Let's make it great again. Let's make June great again.
Let's make hats and shirts for it. Let's not actually say anything substantial about what we do to make June great again. Let's just say the words and then people will cheer. They'll just cheer.
I have great June. Yeah. I have the greatest June.
You have great June. June is the best. I have the best June. And then we'll have the best June. That'll be as simple as that. And people will roar in the crowd. They'll just go.
That's all you need to say.
Boy, I saw something yesterday that's kind of freaky. I mean, I know context is everything, but somebody took a bunch of the lines of Trump up on stage telling people to get out of here beat him up, I'll pay your legal bills and all that. And then they overlaid it with video from like late 50s shots of black people being pushed and kicked out of restaurants and stuff. It was really hard to watch.
Yeah, that would be. I saw something where somebody took a lot of that stuff and superimposed it with the Bob Geldof scene from Pink Floyd's The Wall.
No, I hadn't seen that. Yeah.
Are there any queers in the audience tonight? Put them up against the wall. And then it's Trump, you know. It's horrible.
That sounds bad.
So weirdly fitting.
That movie still haunts me, man. Yeah. Something about that movie. Whew.
Something about Bob Geldof shaving his eyebrows off is disconcerting.
Everything's disconcerting. Last night, I'm sitting there. You know, look, I'm a big fan in my adult years of good dental hygiene. Mm-hmm. I like it. I like to brush them teeth multiple times a day. I like to floss.
Sure.
I like to get to the regular checkups, get the fluoride treatments, all the business. I like it because I'm a fan of taking care of what you got, right? But when I was in junior high, I hated my teeth. Probably because I treated them terribly. I'd eat a bunch of candy and crap, eat sugar babies all day, and then forget to brush at night or didn't want to or was too lazy or whatever. And that caused me some problems. So I've got a lot of weird old fillings, including a gold filling from my teenage years that's in my upper molars up there. It's like an inlay over two teeth. And 2 years ago, that fell out 3 days before my daughter's wedding. I've talked about it on the show before. Last night, sitting there flossing, bonk, falls out in my lap. Just right in my lap.
Nice.
Just laid there looking up at me like a piece of gold that was worth, I don't know, that gold's probably worth, I don't know what it's worth. Probably worth about $1,000 or something.
Right, but in the time it's going to take, I mean, now you got to schedule an appointment to go have it dealt with and all that stuff.
I'm so annoyed, dude.
Yeah.
So annoyed. And all I can do is poke my tongue at the big hole that's there. So I'm like obsessed with that. So anyway, I'm trying not to be a crank today, but I lost a freaking tooth. And also,
I wasn't even on a beaver nugget.
That's right. And while I'm being cranky here, remind me to never talk about on the show any sort of social question or anything of that we might have some interest in that might be a little bit weird.
Because was it the HBO Wiener talk yesterday?
Or the internet will lose its mind and act like I am nothing but a wiener obsessed wiener man. That's all like they came away from that conversation. They forget about the sociological implications of the actual question I was asking. Forget about all of that. Because that was the example I used, Scott is now wiener man wiener number obsessed. One. Yeah, wiener obsessed. And that's fine. Go on thinking that, everybody. It's fine. Keep your wieners to yourselves. All right. Hey, look at this. Speaking of wieners.
Yeah.
if you want to hear, so there's a lot of hubbub.
Speaking of wieners. It's kind of appropriate because Hodor did have a exposed penis scene early on in Game of Thrones.
That's true. Although it was not his.
It was a stunt wiener.
Yeah, stunt wiener. But anyway, so last night we did, or yesterday I did an episode of Hypothetical Help with Terpster, Mark the Terpster Turpin, which will show up today on the feed, on the Hypothetical Help feed at hypotheticalhelp.com. And you're going to want to check it out because if you were at all interested in that video he did with Christian Nairn, who plays Hodor, that took the internet by storm and ended up top of YouTube for a couple of days there. He tells the entire behind the scenes how it happened and how it went down story. And it was more entertaining than I thought it would be.
Really? Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because it seems, you know, pretty cut and dry. Like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, it'd be brilliant if we scheduled a little thing that I could take a video of.
Yep.
And that'd be brilliant.
It'd be brilliant.
And something that we could put on YouTube.
He does put that K at the end.
And something is, you know, S-U-M-F-I-N-K.
Yeah, some fink.
Some fink.
But my favorite part of the story is how Christian is like, he's 6'11". He's an enormous man. And he has to sit on the steps in the movie theater to see a movie. He can't sit in seats because they don't make him, there's not enough room between him and the next seat in front of him. So freaking poor Hodor has to sit in like the aisle on the step
the
down.
Crummy seats.
Not seats. The freaking floor.
Crummy floor. All right. Well, crummy location. Like, you know, not ideal location.
Yeah. Well,
could he bring his own chair and like put it where the handicap things are?
Now
like
that's not a bad idea. Well, I don't know if they have those there.
Then you could be in the center at least.
Yeah. I don't know if they have those there or not. It was in London and I don't know if they care about the handicap in London. Do they care about them? Like,
that's lame.
I don't know. But he had to sit on the floor where people walk. Like right there in the aisleway on the little steppy steps. That's no good.
When will we learn that giant lives matter?
Don't start that hashtag. You'll get in trouble.
Okay.
Anyway, listen to that. It's good. Hypotheticalhelp.com. That's cool. Coming out today.
Can't wait to hear it.
Also, I have some news. My wife is leaving me for 10 days.
Well, we all knew this was coming.
we all saw the signs.
Honey, did you see what was on HBO?
Can you believe you could show your wiener on TV, but not at the mall? No, she's leaving for 10 days. She'll be back. She's not leaving me, but she's leaving with my children. It sounds so bad.
Yeah, no kidding.
She's leaving with the two youngest to New Orleans, and they're going to see some family down there. She's from that area, and also just do some traveling around. They'll end up in some beaches in Florida for a while, and just kind of all over down south. And then they're coming home the morning of the Warcraft viewing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they won't be tired at all from their long journey. But anyway, they're going to show up that morning and we'll do all that. But in the next 10 days, Brian, I've got to decide what kind of man am I going to be? Because I'm going to be alone. Right. Am I the kind of guy who's going to go to the grocery store and pick up various healthy food pyramid food items?
I think we can all answer this. I think we all have a visual in mind. And it's Scott walking around with tissue boxes on his feet playing Heroes of the Storm whenever he's not podcasting. Basically bathrobe, unshaven for 10 days.
Yeah.
I dread what Tom Merritt is going to be walking into next week.
Well, that's the thing. He'll provide much needed pressure to like clean things up before he gets here. But I'm really kind of miserable when she's out of town. I really am not myself. And so there's some concern here in the domicile that I'm not going to do well.
Yeah. Usually you've got kids that like kind of keep you on track. Like if Kim goes away, she maybe takes Taylor or she maybe just takes Carter. Mm-hmm. And usually you've got, you know, the other two to kind of like make sure that, all right, well, you know, Dad can't just blow off all modicum of health and self-management because he's got kids to take care of. Weird eggs to make in the morning.
That's right. I have weird eggs to make. And Taylor already said, she says, Dad, I'm coming over there like every other day with food. I said, you don't have to do that. She goes, no, I'm totally going to, because you're not going to eat right if I don't come over there. So they're all, you know, the one that's home is concerned. A couple of the neighbors are like, well, you can sure come over here. I'm like, no.
Of course.
I'm good. Everyone, I'm freaking good. There's enough Otter Pops in here for at least 10 days.
Oh, geez.
I'll be fine.
I think it'd be a good idea maybe for Corinne to pop over and just make sure you're doing okay.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wish me luck, everyone. Going in 10 days.
Oh, this just in: your internet service provider has said that there's going to be an outage that's going to last about 8 days.
Oh Lord! Can you imagine that? Oh, I'd be dead.
Yeah, you'd be dead.
You'd never even find
me. I'm going to go to Starbucks.
All right. Well, wish me luck. That's all coming, and also wish Brian luck because the IBID experience begins in about a week from now.
A little over a week, yeah. Thursday, the 9th of June, a week from tomorrow, is going to be the night in Vegas. I want to do kind of a meetup for anybody who's going to be passing through there, anyone who lives there before if you're passing through there to go to the Warcraft thing, or if you just live there or live near there and want to come hang out. What I'm thinking is we're just going to start at Hyde in Bellagio. At 8 p.m. And then we're going to be making our way down the strip, hitting a few places that are kind of the hidden away gems, and then hopefully ending up at the Foundation Room at the top of Mandalay Bay, which just has the most amazing view. Either Foundation Room or Skyfall, which I've never been to Skyfall, so I'm kind of looking forward to checking that out.
Yeah.
You'd think by the name that it would be a James Bond themed bar at the top of Mandalay Bay, right?
You'd think, but no.
But no, it's just...
It's just stuff. Judy Dench and a it's a dying dude Judy Dench in the corner. You need to console.
There's Adele loop playing nonstop.
Great. And there Javier Bardem is outside in a weird blonde wig. Is that what's going on?
Right. That's exactly right. Yes. Great.
Perfect. I like it. That's great. So what time, where? So, okay.
8 p.m. at Hyde in Bellagio. It's a bar in Bellagio that sits right on the water, and you can basically sit there, have a drink, and watch the fountains go from the opposite view of the Muyugs on the strip who are, feeding the minions quarters to get a photo with them.
Ah, one of those. And when he says minions, he means literally the stupid cartoon minions.
I literally mean people dressed as minions. Yeah. Although it'll be interesting to see if the... if the Olafs have finally surpassed the minions.
Yeah, because that's been my thinking, is that there would be more Olafs, more frozen Olafs than I've seen. That seemed to be an easy thing to see, and I've seen less of those than I expected.
Or maybe there'll be something new, you know, with Civil War just coming just out. Maybe there's going to be some Civil War related stuff. There's always like, there's a group of guys who dress as the Avengers.
Yeah, always. The Transformer guy's always there, too.
The Transformer guys. Yeah, maybe we'll see some Ninja Turtles since we got Ninja Turtles stuff going on.
Yeah.
We'll see. What was the latest big Disney thing?
All the animal. That would just be furries then, right? Because it was all the Zootopias.
Zootopia stuff, yeah.
What else? There was something else, though. What's the...
Finding Dory. So there like a...
Yeah, that could be.
There could be a Dory.
Yeah. big blue fish with little blue tight legs sticking out of the bottom.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Kind of smells like a 7-day-old ham sandwich.
Yeah, with a with like a, I don't know, heroin inside.
That's right.
There's heroin inside that thing. Anyway, good luck. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, so 8 p.m., Hyde, Bellagio. I'll talk about it more next week, and hopefully people are going to make it. Shoot me an email if you're planning on going, because I want to maybe reserve... get us into Foundation Room for free. I think we should be able to, but if I can give them a count, then we can, get past the velvet rope.
Yeah.
So shoot me an email, coverville@gmail.com. Let me know if you're going to make it.
You have, at this point, you should have all sorts of, you know, on the ground contacts in Vegas that get you all kinds of perks, right? Like,
no, you'd think, but no.
No, not so much. No. They don't care.
No, I have a couple of concierge things that I know the numbers to and who can put me on a list anytime, but I think anybody can do that.
Can you walk in there and go, so if you, but if you were like high roller and you went in there and said, I put $100,000 down on 22.
Then, give me a marker on 22. Yeah.
Then suddenly you would be Lord of the Flies. Like you would just be like, get in here. Here are all the best suites.
Yes.
Comp oh, you yeah, everything. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Cause they want you to lose your money there. That's what they want.
For sure.
Chat room. It's your turn. It's your turn. We're going to do Stump Daryl. That means you got to call in first. We need one of you to call in at 801-895-4724.
Oh crap. Did you bring down your bacon soda?
No, but I'll tell you what.
We could do another Oreo and we'll do bacon soda tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll save it another day, I guess. Okay. First call that comes in is this one. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hello.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I got through. This is Dave from Syracuse, New York.
Oh, sweet, dude. That's stomping grounds for Justin Robert Young. He grew up around there or went to school there or something there. Worked there.
Yeah, he wrote for the paper that actually gets dropped off at my work every day.
Oh, look at that. I'm sure the writing has been much, much better since he departed the staff. It's good to have you here. I'm glad you got through. And it's Dave, right?
Yep.
All right, Dave. Brian's going to explain to you a couple of rules. We'll tell you what you're going to win if you get today's proceedings correctly. And Brian, take it away.
Sure, Dave from New York. So you are going to be given the category of a question to which we are about to ask Daryl. Your job is to predict whether or not Daryl is going to get it right or wrong. And if you're correct today, you can win a code that will unlock Jaina in Heroes of the Storm. She, from what I hear, is a very good character.
She's a fantastic character. And if you already have her or don't play that game or don't intend to, it's a great gift for anyone who does. So either way, the code will work across wherever it gets used. If it's you, if it's somebody else, it doesn't matter. And she is fantastic. One of the great characters in Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, no. Great.
All right, cool.
Excellent.
All right,
so your category today is Mario.
Brothers or just Mario?
Just Mario. We don't care about Luigi. Okay. Just Mario.
All right. Just Mario. But it is.
But I will tell you this: it's video game Mario, not movie Mario.
Wait. Who's movie Mario?
Movie Mario was Bob Hoskins.
Oh, I thought you meant like Van Peebles.
Mario. Well, no, not him either.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, it's going to be a video game, not the cartoon Super Mario or anything like that. It's if you know your Super Mario video games, then you'll be able to assist or steer Daryl in an incorrect direction today. Yeah. But what do you think? What do you think?
I know Mario pretty well, except for Mario 2. So I think I can help him get it right if he can't on his own.
Yeah, and it seems like he's a fan, too. So I think you're probably a pretty safe place there. All right. Well, let's find out when we call Daryl, which will happen right now. And let's see. Will it? Yes, it will. And here's his theme, and off we go, and everyone enjoy it.
Yeehaw! I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
It is Stump Daryl, and Daryl Skills is on the line. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
Hey, man. What's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm tired.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. That sucks. I'm a little tired, too. I did, because my tooth fell out, I ended up sleeping the whole night. I just dreamt about teeth falling out. That was a real bummer. That was a super bummer, man. I don't want to be thinking about
super
that.
Bummer.
You know,
I used to dream about eating my own teeth.
Ugh.
Oh, God.
That's not good.
Well, they're already there, and all you have to do is start chewing, and they start crunching. And
oh, gosh. That grosses me out, man.
Yeah.
Teeth are just F teeth. They're the worst. I hate them. I freaking hate them. They're so dumb. You know what we need? We need to be like more like dogs. I know dogs have some issues with teeth, but for the most part, they just have a lifetime of rad teeth. They just work.
Sharks have it best. Oh, tooth fell out. Bloop.
Whoop.
New one takes its place.
Exactly. Why can we have that? And why do they need to hurt so bad? Can't they be more like a, you know, I don't know. What do we have that doesn't hurt when it comes out? Like a piece of hair fell out. Oh,
right,
darn.
Right.
Darn, a piece of hair. I wonder if that'll grow back.
Scott, you need me to 3D print you a new tooth?
Yeah,
get
me some PLA. And
just a whole full mouth of teeth?
Yep, I'm sure that'll work and not be a problem. at all.
Sure. I'm sure it's completely food safe.
Daryl, on the line with us is Dave. He's from Syracuse, New York, and he's here to either help or hinder you in your question today. Say hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hello.
Yeah, there's Dave. Well, I didn't mean Daryl say hi, Dave. I meant Dave say hi. But that's fine. Let's
say goodnight, Gracie.
So here is your question, Daryl. Are you ready? Are you feeling it?
I am ready.
All right. We're not doing yogurt soda, or not yogurt soda.
Bacon soda.
Bacon
we're
soda,
gonna do,
yet.
We're going to do another Oreo. By the way, before you ask the question, yeah. Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Stump Daryl today is brought to you by Coverville, where today we're going to celebrate what would have been the 125th birthday of Cole Porter, where he's supernatural and lived all this time, and the 75th birthday of Harry Nilsson. So a lot of great songwriter translations into modern performances by folks like Sheryl Crow and Elvis Costello and some indie bands in there, too. Check it out today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time at coverville.com/live.
Nice. All right, Daryl.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Now get to the... Ask the question.
Here's the question. Yoshi is one of Mario's best friends.
Aw.
I won't say homies because that's what's written here.
Yeah.
They often roll deep with their other friends.
He still managed to get you to say something you wouldn't normally say.
Roll deep.
Roll deep.
Roll. As long as he didn't say he's part of a squad or whatever the hell the thing is everyone's saying now. What Super Mario game does Yoshi make his first appearance in? Here are your four options, okay? You like a good Mario game, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's your first option. Super Mario Brothers 2. B, Super Mario World. C, Super Mario Brothers 3. Or D, Super Mario Galaxy. So again, your options are Mario Brothers 2, Super Mario Brothers World, Super Mario Brothers 3, or Super Mario Galaxy. Why don't you think real hard. And then, you know, Dave, feel free to direct him one way
just
or the
steer
other.
Steer him one way or the other.
Yeah.
I turn over my car to you because I have no clue.
Oh, really?
I am literally willing. Well, I remember this game really well because it was pretty much the first video game I ever got on the Super NES console.
Mm.
So I'm going to have to say it's Super Mario World. I remember him popping out of that egg for the first time. I think it was like the second stage or something.
Mm. Daryl, does that jive with what does your heart tell you, Daryl?
My heart is lacking this knowledge, so he has filled it with world.
Wow. He has indeed. So both of you say B. What if he's trying to tell you that that's the right one, but really it's the wrong one?
Wrong.
Yeah, what about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, then I'll be wrong.
All right. Oh, I see. You're just going to go ahead and just let it happen.
Just going to roll deep with it.
Roll deep with it. With your squad and your homies. All right. Well, let's find out if B is indeed the correct answer. That would be Super Mario World. Is that correct?
Congratulations.
It absolutely is.
Yay. You're a winner.
And that's what he thought you'd get. He thought you'd get it right, which is good. So congratulations, Dave. You got that right as well. Mario World. He makes his first appearance in the Super NES launch of Super Mario World and has been featured in so many Mario games since. Here is a clip of Yoshi from the terrible cartoon series. All right. So here's that.
Hi. Looking for your baby? Here. Fed and burped. Ready to go.
Mama Luigi! Yoshi-so! Smell good! Eat!
Get back, you despicable dinosaurs! You're dealing with a licensed plumber here!
This is the worst thing ever.
That is really horrendous.
Oh my gosh. Is that...
Does that Yoshi sound like the fly that gets trapped in the web in the original version of the fly?
Help me!
Yeah, that's real bad. In the cartoons, in the games, he never had a voice. I mean, he had a voice, but it was never spoken. It was like or whatever.
Right.
Well, there you go. Good job, guys. That game's great, by the way. Super Mario World probably still the best 2D Mario game ever made.
Yeah, I think so. That was so good.
Yeah, worth playing anytime. Dave, congratulations. Send me a private message in deal there, the IRC, or you can send me an email at scott@frogpants.com. Either one will get to me, and I will get you your code for Jaina. Congratulations, Dave.
Thanks.
See ya.
See you, Dave.
May Syracuse, New York never forget Dave and his braveness.
Nice.
All right, Daryl.
It's winners every day lately.
Yeah. We eat wieners every day. Daryl.
Right.
Why don't you...
We talk about wieners every day, too.
That's what they say. That's what people are saying.
All right, what are we eating today, folks?
Those cookies there. Hold on.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Scott, did you get Ritters in yours?
I did. I got two of them. Did you?
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't have asked if you didn't get them. I got three of them. Am I supposed to have three?
I got three as well, so yeah.
Yep.
Got winter
we'll
edition.
We'll still do the Oreos today, and we'll... baking soda tomorrow, and then next week will be Ritter.
Yeah, these all look really good.
Oh, yeah. None of these look terrible.
No.
We'll make like the B in apartment 23 and have Ritters every day.
That's right. That show's off the air now, right?
Well, very far off the air.
Okay.
It was, I think, off the air before she was Jane in Breaking Bad, wasn't it?
Oh, I thought that was after that.
Or was it, do I have the, yeah, maybe I do have the dates mixed up.
Jessica Jones is definitely after it though, right?
Well, Jessica Jones very much after. Yeah, yeah. We binged Breaking Bad after Apartment 23, after we watched one or two episodes of Apartment 23.
It's no good?
No.
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 James Vanderbeek was kind of funny because he was playing a dick version of James Vanderbeek.
He was actually
James. I like when characters do that.
Yeah, he was actual James Vanderbeek, right?
He was actual James Vanderbeek.
But
playing,
he was being a jerk version of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assuming that he's not really a jerk version.
Well, we're making a big assumption.
What's another good famous version of that? Like,
Tribute. Right. Well, Matt LeBlanc in Episodes.
Yep, that's a thing.
There's a great dick version of himself.
Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, had, yeah. Right. You get your Neil Patrick Harris playing a dick version of Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. It's a fun move when people do that. And you always, I think the assumption is always that, oh, this shows that they're not like this in real life.
Right. Bob Saget on Entourage was another good one.
Oh, yeah. Although, I've heard things.
You kind of wonder, maybe he's...
Yeah, I've heard things. I'll say I've heard things.
Well, he's certainly raunchier in real life than he ever was on like Full House or.
Oh yeah, I guess his stand up was always raunchy, but just no one knew him there from that. So they ever knew him from were these TV shows, and then you
see him in concert doing his live stand up, and
you're like, whoa,
oh my goodness,
this is a dirty man.
All right,
I didn't play
them. Are you hungry? Much
food. All right, we got here these Oreos. They are the cinnamon bun Oreos, naturally and artificially flavored. What does that mean?
That means that there's a natural cinnamon mixed with whipped animal fat.
All right, perfect.
A nutritious, balanced breakfast for Scott over the next 10 days.
Yeah, I got to make these last.
But it's fake animal. It's not real animal fat. It's fake animal fat.
Yeah, sorry, it's stuffed animal fat.
Yeah, stuffed animal fat. Gross. Imagine what that is. So these are supposed to be like, let's see, cinnamon roll.
Like a cinnamon roll.
Or a bun, yeah. You guys have Cinnabons in malls and stuff? Do you guys have those?
Yeah, we have Cinnabons.
I don't think I've ever had one there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they're good.
Are they? They're hot and sticky and,
Yeah. They're a very good, a very occasional treat.
All right. Maybe I'll try one day. So here it is.
If Saul Goodman works there, it's good enough for me.
Right.
Oh, that's right. He did. Was it a Cinnabon, actual branded Cinnabon?
I think it was a Cinnabon, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I forgot he was there. Are they ever going to get, I haven't seen season two yet. Do they refer back to that at all?
Uh-huh.
Oh, they do. Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, here, eat this.
A great scene, too, with that.
Yep, tastes like a cinnamon bun.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it tastes like. How come on the side of the package there's two of them stacked up? What's that about? Is that the serving? Huh.
I think that's just decoration. That's a really good point, though. I've never noticed that on other...
Oh, you know what? You're right. It's supposed to show kind of like, oh, look, it looks a little like a cinnamon bun, but perfectly symmetrical. And
oh, maybe. All right.
Maybe you're right. All right. Those are good.
Mm-hmm.
They're the kind, though, I can only, like, that's not an Oreo I could keep going. Like, the Thin Mint ones, I could eat those for days.
Mm-hmm.
But these are like, oh, okay, that's a lot of flavor. I think I'm good for the day.
Yeah.
All right. Well done, everyone. That was great. Daryl, let's play a game with you at the end of the show here, or the end of the segment, called Google Philactopus. What is it?
Googleus Maximus.
Googleus Maximus.
That's Do I need to write it down?
You might need to, because I never remember anything, and I also have this thing for it.
I know. I Google it.
There you go.
Okay. I'm going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google, and you complete the phrase and win nothing.
Okay.
And we're looking for the number one results with this one. What are these straw blank?
What are these straw blank? Is this also a Linky McScott's thing?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. What are these straw blank?
And a little hint, that blank is not just one word.
Oh,
okay.
I was going to say hats, so if it's not that.
What
are these straw?
Berry Pop-Tart blowtorches. What are these straw?
I can't think of anything that's multiple words.
Doing in my...
What are these straw doing in my coffee?
What are these straw...
Your blowtorch one was not far off.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, really?
Weird.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to say, what are these strawberry Pop-Tarts?
All right. Yeah, I do like doing the berries separate. What are these strawberry...
Shortcakes.
Sure, why not? Just to keep moving.
Yeah.
Strawberry. What are these strawberry shortcakes?
Okay.
Gil, but God, Fred.
Plural though.
Yeah.
Freds.
There.
Wait, now we have to hear it.
Gilbert got Freds.
Okay. The number one answer is, what are these strawberries doing on my nipples?
What?
Okay.
Check yourself. Okay. It's there.
Okay, let me look this up.
What are these
strawberries doing on my nipples?
There's a PDF. So apparently this is a...
strawberries doing on my nipples PDF? What are these strawberries doing on my nipples? And I need them.
I need them for the fruit salad.
And then there's with the same result with a wiki at the end.
It's a book apparently you can get on Amazon.
You know what? The answer is easy. Cause you put them there. That's why there's strawberries on your nipples. Don't put them there. Take them off of there.
I don't know what.
That was terrible. Bye, Daryl. Yeah. All right. I don't mean Daryl was terrible. I mean, that was really weird.
Give us something we could get, Daryl.
Yeah, damn it.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
'Tis the news brought to you by...
The wait is over. The latest episode of Count Drahoon's Feature of Fright starring Frogpants Studios' Scott Johnson is now available on camcordertv.com, iTunes, Podbay, and TuneIn Radio. Will it be available at Podcast Alley? Who knows? Will Scott and the Animus Forks Homicide Squad be able to defeat the Ghostfish? Or will the EPA try to sweep it all under the rug? Go to camcordertv.com, scroll to our podcast page, and click on Count Drahoon's Feature of Fright to listen and find out. All Camcorder right. TV, and take a breath. Humble beginnings, big ideas.
I was like, you okay over there? You got a little pause going.
It's doing this right after we eat something is difficult because...
Yeah, you're asking for it when we do
right.
that. Yeah, exactly.
My mouth just got done masticating a lovely cinnamon bun Oreo.
Yep.
I can't be expected to read a paragraph of text, Count Drahoon's Feature of Fright.
Hardcore masticator, Brian Ibbett. Right. FX, the channel, they're chronic, like a Fox. You know, Fox, they got the little subsidiary station there, the FX station there.
Yeah, and FXX, too.
Yeah, they got the, so FFX or FXX, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
They do like Simpsons reruns, right? Is that their whole deal?
Right, I think so. Yeah. That's how they started anyway, right? It was several days of nonstop Simpsons reruns.
That's right. Well, FX Prime there, they are famous for like The Shield and my brain's not working. What else are they? Oh, they got the
not Justified. Was it Justified?
No. Yes. Yes. Yeah, Justified is on there. That is right. That is totally right. Lots of good shows. I can't think of them all though. Right now. What's the where am I getting Fargo from? Is that AMC? No, Fargo. That's FX. That's also
Fargo's FX.
Yeah.
Sons of Anarchy, Archer.
That's right.
American Horror Story. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
The Americans, The Shield, Louie, Rescue Me, Nip Tuck, The League, Wilfred, Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Yeah.
Damages.
Yeah. Many things, many shows, many things.
And then the quality rating kind of drops off.
Yeah. Damages is good, though. Damages is great when it was on. Is that still on? I don't think it's still on, is it?
I think it's still on.
Yeah. No. It's a fantastic show. Mm-hmm. It made me super anxious the whole time, though. That was the only problem with it. Is it just relentless.
Great things about The Americans, too.
Yeah, that's in the sixth season now. That's a show you should watch, yeah.
Yeah, I need to binge that.
Yeah. That's on Amazon or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, FX orders X-Men take Legion to series. What? That's a weird way to write that. But anyway, FX has ordered the Legion, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is like a spinoff from X-Men, right?
Correct. Yeah, Legion is Professor Xavier's son with hair like the dude from Kid and Play.
Oh, good.
I can't remember which one it was, Kid or Play, that had
the hair.
Cylinder of hair that went straight up.
But yeah, that was Kid.
It must have been Kid, right?
Yep, and he had...
I think if you do your hair like that, you get top billing in Kid and Play.
Yeah, the unknown... The thing you didn't know about that, though, is that's his actual head with just a light bit of hair on it.
Just a really, really thin afro.
Yeah,
nice.
If you cut it, it's just a big, long, weird head. He looks like a Tylenol pill. Anyway, Fargo's Noah Hawley's serving as showrunner on the eight-episode series drama starring Dan Stevens, Aubrey Plaza, Jean Smart, and Rachel Keller. Let's see. I gotta ignore that. The Hollywood Reporter has learned the drama will debut in 2017, early that year. Fargo's Noah Hawley, who's showrunner of the Fargo there. Mm-hmm. That guy's a big deal. This makes me super excited.
Wow,
what this
yeah,
might
no
be
kidding.
Like.
And, hey, I like Aubrey Plaza. I like Jean Smart.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if it's going to be... Because there was a connection with the New Mutants and Generation X with Legion. It would be really cool to kind of have that side thing.
Who's the mom? If it's Xavier's the dad, who's the mom?
Who was it? It was...
It's not like Jean Grey or something weird.
No. It wasn't even Moira McTaggart. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was...
MODOK.
Yeah, it was MODOK. It was a tryst between Professor X and MODOK.
Imagine
I can't
that.
Remember. It was a brunette woman that didn't have powers or anything.
Oh, okay. Just a lady.
Gabriel Holler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, or Gabrielle Holler. Man, Holler!
So many names I don't... No, in the comics that you are so good at with the Marvel side of things.
Right.
Let's see. This is a man who is more than human, who was struggling with mental illness since his teenage years, diagnosed as schizophrenic. David has been out of hospitals for years. But after a strange encounter with a fellow patient, he is confronted with the possibility that the voices he hears and the visions he sees might be real. In the comics, David is the son of X-Men founder Charles Xavier, like you said. And Israeli Holocaust survivor Gabriel Holler. There it is.
There we go. Yep.
The character first appeared in New Mutants 25 in March of 1985. So who's this guy? Downton Abbey's Dan Stevens. I can't think of who that is, and I haven't finished Downton Abbey.
So Dan Stevens. Yeah. Isn't Dan Stevens... Why is the name Dan Stevens sounds like it? It came from some sitcom we watched as kids.
You're thinking of Darren Stevens.
Maybe that's it, yeah.
Played by either Dick York or Dick Sargent.
Dick Sargent, right.
By the way, you know, we were talking about Dick Sargent, Dick York on FilmSack, and then what other guys are like that. I found another yesterday that I had completely forgot about. Both George and Jerry's dads on Seinfeld were different actors.
Right, yeah.
And suddenly, just one day without warning, they were a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the case of George's dad, it was a good call because Jerry Stiller
is the best.
Yeah,
man.
He's so good.
So right at it now.
Yeah, I forgot about the other guy, but both the moms were the same.
Right.
They didn't change them. Anyway, that's happening. Does this excite you? It should make you excited. You like your Marvel business, right?
I do. Yeah, and I'm hoping for something better than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I really. Really had high hopes for that, especially this season. I think I'm just so tired of the Grant Ward character.
Yeah.
Brought him back for another season after he supposedly died, and I won't say why, but
Wait, are you telling me the comic book type stuff says people die and then they don't die? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Weird. Excuse me. So
it would be nice to see some good Marvel television done properly, not counting the Netflix stuff. Netflix was the Netflix stuff is still head and shoulders above anything else comic book related. And I love Arrow and The Flash and Gotham, but I think the Netflix stuff is the top of that mountain.
I agree. The tip top. Well, we'll see how it goes. JetBlue, they're an airplane thing.
They are a carrier. Yeah,
carrier of people. And they put them in airplanes and they move them around. JetBlue, their staff, asked a dancer to change her shorts before she could board the flight. Mm. Maggie McMuffin.
No way.
That's
please.
What she says her name is. I don't think it's real.
I now have a new Twitter handle.
I think if you dug deep, you'd find out her name changed. Anyway, I think so.
Maggie McMuffin is. Can you get that all day at McDonald's now, by the way?
The Maggie McMuffin. Get it your way in the right there, baby, baby.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to Google Maggie McMuffin because I'm guessing based on that name, there are going to be other photos of her besides the ones on shorty shorts on a JetBlue aircraft.
Probably. With a name like Maggie McMuffin. Rule 34 is in effect. right. Let's see. She didn't think there was anything scandalous about the black and white chevron shorts she was wearing when she was trying to catch a connecting flight from Boston to Seattle earlier this month. By the way, I used to think when you'd talk about a chevron pattern, I thought that were I never disassociated it from the gas station.
From the gas station, yeah.
And it just drove me crazy. Like my mom would say, "Oh, I'm getting these new curtains. They've got this lovely chevron pattern." I'm like, "That is an ugly logo, Mom. Why would you want that in the house?" She's like, "No, you don't understand."
Well, it's not till later in life that you hear, oh yeah, the things the insignia that military people have on their shoulders is a chevron.
Yeah, it seems weird.
When you hear that after you're so used to the gas station, oh yeah, we're gonna go down to Chevron, fill up the tank.
Yep, we had one. In fact, recently, we're at my last house. We used to have a Chevron up the road, and that's where we'd get gas and pick up stupid food.
yeah, no kidding.
Lots of stupid.
You get
food.
The taquitos that have been rolling back and forth on that little metal plate for the last 3 days.
I'd never get a taquito, but I would get occasionally. I'd get one of the shrivelly up hot dogs there, and they've been there for a long time, and I still liked them. And I know they're not good. There's enough nitrate in there to, you know, give me a new hole. But
sure,
I used to love that. Anyway, so here's the deal. They said that the JetBlue employees found her outfit was no good and said it wouldn't fly. Get it?
Wouldn't fly.
26-year-old burlesque performer who asked that only her stage name be used made a pit stop at Logan International Airport in New York City on May 18th on her way home to the West Coast. While McMuffin was waiting to board her flight, a JetBlue employee approached McMuffin in the gate and asked that she change out of her high-waisted shorts or risk not getting on the plane. McMuffin said in a telephone interview, can't talk, here's what she said, quote, "My response was a little angry and a little surprised," says McMuffin. "I was like, I don't understand that, since I had flown JetBlue to Boston earlier in the day in the same shorts with no problem." McMuffin said the shorts covered everything. So there was no way, in her opinion, she was breaking any indecent exposure laws. "I was wearing thigh-high socks and a large sweater," she said, "including the shorts. 90% of my body was covered." It's the 10% they were interested in. I looked at the picture. I don't see anything weird.
I don't think it's that bad. No, I've seen people wear far worse on airlines. Remember, here, ready for me to sound really old?
Yep.
Remember when people used to dress up to go on an airplane?
They do. They'd put on their suits and their hats, and they'd take a suitcase.
When I was a kid, though, like I'd fly to California every summer and spend 2 weeks with my grandparents who lived out in the San Fernando Valley, right? Yeah. And I remember having to dress up to go on the plane. Not a suit by any means, but like it would be a nice button-up shirt and some non-jean slacks.
Yep.
And
people still smoked then too on the plane.
They did. Oh yeah. And you had those little flip things in the armrest, the little ashtrays. And I'd probably drive everybody around me nuts because I'd play with that little flip thing the whole time I was flying.
Oh, it was a great little flip thing. Of all the flip things you could flip with on a plane, though, that thing was the best. I agree. But isn't it weird? How did we as a human race ever think that was okay? How did we ever say, yep, just go ahead and smoke in this tiny trapped tube? Where nobody can, you know, we're 30,000 feet up. There's no real air coming in. Right. It's all recycled BS air. Go ahead and smoke that. Just blow that around. Let's blow that in each other's faces. Let's just go ahead and do that. That seems so weird to me now.
It does. Yeah.
How is that ever a thing? And I'm not, listen, anyone who out there is smoking, hey, whatever, man, party on. But I'm just saying, how are you ever allowed to do that on a plane? I don't get it.
It doesn't make any sense because there's the ventilation is already crap in there.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So it's just basically like
it's bad now.
Like flying through a vape.
Yeah, flying through a vape. I'd rather fly through a vape. If it was vaping, I could almost see it, but like just, yeah, you know, because at least everyone smells like strawberry shortcake. Speaking of strawberry shortcake. Anyway, so she got
that's busted. That's actually Maggie McMuffin's stage partner is strawberry shortcake.
Well, that's no good. Yeah. former SHIELD actor Michael Jace. Speaking of FX, the show SHIELD, Michael Jace, SHIELD, yeah, African American actor, played I forgot the character he played. No, it doesn't say here. Anyway, it was found guilty of second-degree murder.
Yikes.
Killed his wife, it says. Former SHIELD actor Michael Jace convicted Tuesday of the fatal shooting of his wife in April. wife April Jace in their Los Angeles home in front of the couple's two sons. Jeez. The verdict was announced Tuesday after a week-long trial. A jury of six women and six men deliberated for around 2 hours before finding Jace, age 53, guilty of second-degree murder of his wife on May 18th, 2014. Mm-hmm. According to Los Angeles County District Police Attorney's Office, he faces 40 years to life in prison. Actor portrayed, LAPD officer Julian Lowe on the FX series called The Shield, and was upset his wife wanted a divorce. Gosh dang it, dude. I mean, I don't know if he had any other jobs after The Shield. Maybe things got weird, but you don't have to shoot, anybody. Don't shoot people, especially in front of your kids. Come on.
Crime of passion.
That seems weird to say that, especially in front of your kids. Don't shoot her at all.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're going to do it, see, it just sounds wrong no matter how I say it. Don't shoot people.
If you're going to shoot your wife, don't do it in front of the kids. Is that what you're trying to say?
I guess I was trying to say that. It just is made so much worse. Like, it's so compounded by that. But it's not like you can say.
You don't even get through the first half of that sentence.
Yeah, it's like, it's
just
okay.
Don't shoot your wife.
It's like saying to your uncle, it's okay to fart, but don't do it at a Thanksgiving table in front of everybody.
Yeah,
But this isn't the same.
A little different.
Yeah, this is like someone died.
Oh, boy.
Don't shoot people at all is what I'm getting at. All right, final story. Donald Trump is a shape-shifting lizard.
Oh, good. Well, finally, we know the truth.
Well, it's been proven by...
He's from V.
he eats gophers in one bite.
That's right, yes.
I never get that out of my head, that lady with the jaw.
Jane Balder eating a gopher in one bite.
Ugh, so
weird.
Unhinging
her jaw.
It's stuck with me. Like, you know how things when you're a kid, they just stick with you.
Jane Badler, I guess, not Balder. Badler.
Badler?
Right. Battler.
She's still around? She's still kicking it?
I have no idea.
She's still sliding giant rodents into her giant maw?
Yikes. Yeah, looks like it.
Donald Trump is a lot of things. Some might call him a serial liar, rampant xenophobe, racist, maybe a misogynist, and a birther. Those are all things you can actually go back and sort of prove, by the way. Right. He's also a shape-shifting lizard, according to an electronic sign on the Interstate 30 in Dallas, near the Cockrell Hill Road exit. Earlier this morning, somebody hacked the sign so that it commented on Trump's reptilian secret and not on the traffic ahead. For a brief period, the sign read, Donald Trump is a shape-shifting lizard, according to the CBS Dallas-Fort Worth. Officials for the Texas Department of Transportation, or TxDOT, they told Dallas NBC Fort Worth that the hacked signs belonged to a contractor. They thought the signs had been turned off and looked before the holiday weekend. Or locked, rather, not looked. Ryan LaFontaine told the station that the signs cannot be altered remotely. You have to actually be there. The shape-shifting lizard post was actually the second time the road sign had been altered. On Memorial Day, the sign offered this message. Party hardy, y'all.
I love when they do that. I like the, you know, zombie infestation ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Donald Trump as a shape-shifting lizard is a pretty good one.
That is really good. And, yeah. It'd be great if he could do that, like, you know, on one of his routes to the airport or something.
Just so he could see it obsess about it and then try to sue the person out of existence and all the things he does.
I'm going to build a sign.
Yeah. I asked a bunch of kids over. They were probably, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old. And they're all over. Kim made everybody treats and stuff. And they're all hanging around. And I asked a bunch of them if they knew who Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton were. And most of them have no idea because they're just so young, they don't care, right? When we were seven, did we care who Carter or Reagan or anybody else was.
Or whoever, yeah.
We didn't care.
Not so much.
No. We wouldn't care at all. We cared about where, you know, when's
we knew
Halloween.
George Washington back then, right? We're like, oh, first president, George Washington. Probably knew who the current guy was, but not much about him.
Sure.
But
we wanted to know why was Halloween only once a year and how come Christmas is so far away? Like, we didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I asked and they didn't know. But a couple of them were like, you know, my dad talked about him all the time. What does he say? Well, my dad hates Trump. The other kid would say, my dad thinks Trump's awesome and he hates Hillary. Like, you're just starting to see the seeds of, of discontent.
Right.
Yeah, and it bothered me because they're otherwise these wonderful, innocent kids.
They're seven. They're not going to go out and do the research on their own and figure out whether or not they agree with Trump's stance on immigration and foreign policy.
Yeah. I need to check Wikipedia to see if it jives with my feelings about immigrants and taking American jobs.
Yeah.
See you, Dad.
They just want to go outside, pick their nose, and kick a dog or whatever they do.
Sure.
Whatever kids do. Okay.
Why shouldn't they, right?
That's a good point. We're going to take a break. And why shouldn't
Except for the kicking a dog.
Yeah, don't kick them. Don't shoot people and don't kick a dog.
Kids don't kick dogs.
No. You ever have that? Okay, this is funny. This is a weird little side note because you brought up dogs. Mm-hmm. Did you ever, with your dogs, there's this moment I had with Rainer the other day, Jim Rainer, the female dog. Where I just wanted to just hug her and hold her and never let her go. Like, there was a moment of life. I always enjoyed the dog. Always loved her since we rescued her. She's been great. Great dog. Maybe our best dog. But there was this moment of, like, maybe it's because she had finally said, looked at me in a way that said, I now choose you as my ultimate owner. Or something. I got some vibe off of her. And now I just can't get enough of the dog. I just want to be with the dog all the time.
Well, you've got 10 days alone to profess your love to Jim Rainer, the female dog, unencumbered by family.
That's right.
Without the judging eyes of those you love.
I'm going to take advantage of the hammock and the dog. Dog's going to come lay with me on the hammock. We're going to get afternoon.
I'm so glad you said the hammock first I'm going to take advantage of the dog.
On the hammock, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be great. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, it is time for... Who's on today? Oh, Recommendals, yeah. And Tom will be here.
Nicole and Tom.
Yep, it's Wednesday. It's weird. This week's weird because of the holiday. Anyway, that's all coming up, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, let's have some independent music.
That's right. So for today's indie song, I'm actually going to read a request that's unrelated to the song today, but... otherwise, this person would never get their request read, and it's touching and sweet.
We should warn in that. We should warn that guy that hates this that, hey, we're about to do something that's kind of heartfelt and nice, and so you want to turn the podcast off because you're mean and your heart is black. Okay, go ahead.
Bob Pedersen, paging Bob Pedersen. good morning, Scott and Brian. On Wednesday, June 1st, my fiance, another Jay Martin, and I will be taking off from Kansas City back to my hometown in New York to finally get married. We've been engaged for almost 2 years, but because I was finishing my PhD and then relocating to Kansas for my new job, we've had to wait until now to get married. Jason introduced me to TMS and the Frog Pants Network, and I love being part of the tadpole. Brian, if you could please play a cover of Somewhere Beyond the Sea, which is a song we'll be walking down the aisle to after pronounced husband and wife on June 12th. If you can't find a cover of that, our first dance will be the Moon Dance, and a cover of that will work as well. If all goes well, we should be hearing this on the plane back to Albany. Love the show, though. Stephanie, a.k.a. Musical Chemist in the Tadpool.
Aww.
So congrats to two Tadpooligans, another Jay Martin and Musical Chemist, who are tying the knot. And so happy. So I'm not playing a cover of that, as you... As you know.
Yeah.
But I did want to read your request on the air because it's sweet and we're super, super happy for you. What I am going to play, and maybe you'll like this, who knows, maybe this is something you'll enjoy, is a song called Out of My Mouth by a band called Youth Hostel. They're an indie pop foursome with kind of a fun, jangly guitar pop sound to them. You know, I love this stuff. They made their debut on Janice Long's BBC Radio 2 show. And they are playing, or they just played Liverpool's Sound City on this last Saturday. Check out their brand new album, Out of My Mouth. Here is the single, self-titled, or the debut title track is the word I'm looking for, by Youth Hostel, Out of My Mouth.
there isn't any spaces, cause I haven't had a taste of it, but there really isn't any there. Whoa. You take the words right out of my mouth, tell me things when you are never in doubt. You can take these issues right out of my house, but it's too soon. The wise man, he took it all back, and inside you, you've got to relax and remind me that you could have anything if you put your mind to the facts. Play a trump card if you work hard. Now we can take an hour or two if you like. Oh, we're Pokemon, we're picking out twos inside. It's like you can take a step back if you're coming my way. I've seen this before, this broke going out of my brain. I'm feeling cornered and I'm sick of your games. I'm so exhausted, you're gonna take the words right out of my mouth. Tell me things when you are never in doubt. You can take these issues right back to my mouth, but it's too soon.
We call it drunk, wazzled, or plastered. What exactly causes someone to get drunk?
Yeah.
The Morning Stream. Look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
All right, we're back. Lovely, lovely song.
Isn't that fun? Kind of like, I was putting this in chat, but like House Martins, Lightning Seeds, kind of that 80s yep. Manchester.
Very sound. House Martins.
Yeah.
Would you agree, Randy?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, even Randy agrees.
Great. Wonderful. Okay. It's time of the show where we bring Nicole in.
You should totally do that.
Nicole Spagnolo. She is going to be here to talk about recommendals because we like that. It's a thing
I like that
show.
Too.
Yeah. Big fan.
I wholeheartedly approve of doing that.
Oh, good. Because you're getting it regardless. Whether you like it or not, damn it. Here it is.
Well, it's easier to just roll with it.
That's right. Here it is. Nicole Spag, what's up with you?
I'm good.
Oh.
I'm no longer... on medicine.
Oh, good. Good. You're not stoned anymore. That's good. That's good.
I honestly don't even remember what we talked about last time. I think my movie was V for Vendetta. I don't remember what you told me. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, your movie was V for Vendetta. You're right. So you have a little recollection of what happened there. That's fantastic. Well, it's good to have you back. It's of course
I feel much better.
Yeah. Well, good. And good. Do you what's your how long do you have to have the big bandage thing and all that?
For 2 weeks, so I think I got another week because I, like, it was the day after.
Yeah. As best you can remember, that's still a haze of Percocet.
Yeah, so, I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, that stuff's the worst, man.
I don't like not feeling like myself.
Yeah, drugs are the worst. So,
don't do drugs, kids. Stay in school.
Yeah, stay in school. So Nicole comes on. We talk about recommendals every Wednesday, and it's usually based on a theme of one type or another. I remind everyone our theme today.
Apparently it's phone call theme.
Perfect.
Somebody's calling you to tell you the theme.
Great.
So our theme, well, I just had it up here and where did it go?
There, I could say it.
Coming of age is the theme or genre and the title contains someone's name.
Ah, gotcha. Well, I may have cheated on half of that.
Did you not get it?
I may have cheated on half of it. We'll see. Okay. We'll see.
I tried very hard not to cheat because I have a number of movies that are coming of age movies that are streaming.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the name in it.
All right. But I find one.
I'll make it up.
Mine, I feel like it nails this.
Really?
Good.
Okay. Yes. Really? Oh, nails it? Wow. All right. Yeah.
By the way, I listened to Film Sack when you talked about Teen Witch.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to let you know, all four of you love
Here
that
it movie. Comes.
All four of you. I listened to the whole thing.
Yeah.
You love that movie.
Oh, we had a great time. Like I said at the end of it, that at the end of that
talking
episode,
about that movie.
That movie is absolutely something people should see. They should not. It's great garbage. It's really fun. Yeah.
And you guys were talking about like who it was made for. It was made for me. I was 13 at the time.
Yeah.
Big nerd.
All right. Like, wait a minute. Wait, so hold on. Because that's the part I was questioning. All right. So made. This is what I would assume, right? A Teen Witch movie would be made for preteen girls or you know, early teen girls. But why have a cheerleader dancing scene with towels and stuff? That's so, you know, preteen boys targeted.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
But okay. Those were the glamorous girls. I mean, even though in my school, the cheerleaders were not the glamorous girls, uh-huh. the popular girls, it was a weird thing. Like, it wasn't cool to be a cheerleader in my school.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had a similar thing. Nobody liked the cheerleaders in our school.
You
topsy-turvy land is...
Yeah, you did sports.
Yeah, it was opposite day. here's a reminder about how great Teen Witch is. There you go, a little laugh.
I also have a really interesting bit of trivia for you on the nerdy guy that disappeared.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yeah, our chick in the bucket. What happened?
Mm-hmm. So that nerdy guy that disappeared is actually one of the new Monkees. So around late 80s, they decided to reboot the Monkees TV show.
I remember that. Yeah.
And it was called The New Monkees.
Yes.
Really?
They made 5 episodes, and that nerdy guy was one of the 4 guys.
Oh, my gosh. This was his real name.
Armando Legando.
No, that's interesting. And I never even knew that existed, a Monkees reboot.
I was really into the Monkees too.
Who else was one of those new Monkees?
Who?
Nobody you've ever heard of in your entire life.
Yep. I think the Teen Witch guy was the top of the pack.
Right. He was the A-lister.
I was looking at every one of them to see what they've done since, and he was really the only one that did anything.
Here he is burping at a door. There he is. That's him.
Nice.
Yep. Oh, and here he is talking.
You want to smoke some weed?
There he is again. Okay, great.
But I totally agreed on your conversation on him, he was just every horrible thing wrapped in
He was all of those things in one guy. Yep. And looked like J.J. Abrams in the process. Which
Zach, I really enjoyed it.
It was really fun. All right. Well, I'm glad we were finally able to do it. Brian, we want to start with your clip today for the theme. Okay. Coming of age, name in the title.
I don't think I'm going to set this up at all other than saying that it's a movie that came out last year.
Okay. Here it is.
What's wrong? I'm just tired of running, of lying to good people.
Then stop. Nobody's chasing you anymore. Anyone who is ever suspicious is long dead. You don't have to be alone forever. Don't you miss having someone to love? It's been such a long time.
Well, it's not the same when there's no future.
What are you talking about? You got nothing but future.
I mean a future together, of growing old together. Without that love it's just heartbreak.
Wow, this is nice and depressing. What do you got there? What's this? What is
Any
that?
Ideas?
No idea. Nicole, do you know?
That is Ellen Burstyn. Good job, Creepy Peen, in the chat room. It's a movie I had not heard of until I was kind of searching for something like this. And I'm amazed that I'd never heard of it because it's really, really good.
Is it Keith? That's like
It is not Keith. It's a movie called The Age of Adeline.
Oh, yeah.
And it came out last year, stars Blake Lively as a woman who gets in a car accident around the turn of the century, like 1908. And from that point is unable to age. Basically, she becomes Highlander.
Oh, cool.
So
now I'm into it.
So now she basically has to live her life changing her name. That's her talking with her daughter, who's played by Ellen Burstyn, obviously is much older. But here's the amazing thing. So Harrison Ford is also in this film.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you guys a link. I'm going to put it in Skype. I want you to play this on the show as well.
Okay.
Because this is the guy who plays, where's my link? Here it is. I'm going to put in Skype here. This is a guy who plays young Harrison Ford that she meets earlier in her life.
Okay.
And if there's anyone who ever should play young Indiana Jones or young Han Solo or young anything related to Harrison Ford, it's this guy.
Oh, all right. Let me, you know what, chat room, I'm gonna do you one better and show you the video. So here goes.
Cool. Wow.
Chrome, whoops. Hold on. Take me just.
We might have lost. I think we might have just lost Nicole. Did we?
No, still here.
Oh, okay. All right.
My camera's not working. Mark moved.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I was seeing the spinny white ball on your screen.
Yeah, I'm trying to stop it.
It's all good. Why can't I find it? This is dumb. Hold on. Oh. Hold on.
Technical issues.
I found it. Okay, I found it. I'm going to play it now. Here you go.
Okay.
Well, there's her.
This is a flashback scene. Is
someone filming this on a camera? Yeah.
They no, I don't think so.
Yeah, they totally are.
Oh, are they?
Tell me the audio.
Yeah, plus the video is real jumpy and jerky.
Keep doing that, you're gonna flood your engine.
Thank you.
Oh my
Thank
gosh.
You for the useful tip.
Well, you're gonna get one hell of a tan at least.
Why did they pick him to do Han?
How did they find this kid?
Right. I know. He's just like looks and sounds just like a young Harrison Ford. Anthony and Gruber is his name. And yeah, there's video of him where he actually does do Harrison Ford impersonations and Pants fan just put one in the chat room, but he's like doing, you know, he's actually playing a young Harrison Ford in a couple of YouTube videos.
I got to hear that. Hold on. I'm pulling that one.
Okay.
I'm Solo. Right. I'm Captain Millennium Falcon. Chewyer tells me you're looking for a passage to the Alderaan system.
Oh my gosh. That's freaky, dude.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Wow.
Guy is really, really good. The film is really good. Age of Adaline. It's got, and it's kind of follows that. That sci-fi thing that we've seen in the last few years where they combine sci-fi in a way where it's really a...
Where's the streaming?
On Hulu.
Oh, okay. Are you and sure? Because...
I know. I watched it on Hulu last night.
Your last one wasn't streaming.
You weren't able to find Steve Jobs, and I don't know why. Just Watch must have had that
you
one
have,
wrong.
Do you have, Showtime through Hulu?
No, uh-uh.
Okay.
But if you have Showtime... Then you have it there. And yeah. You do have Showtime. No, you guys cut the cords. You don't have Showtime.
We don't have. Well, we have the show app, though, because we like Penny Dreadful. And
oh, well, if you have that, then I think
then, yeah,
you have
But
it.
I don't have that through Hulu, though.
Right. But if you have it, you automatically get it.
Yeah. Well, I haven't logged into that on.
On Hulu?
On Hulu. And I use a different email account for that.
Okay.
So it's this one is on just straight up Hulu. Mush Potatoes just put a link to it in the chat room.
Weird.
I don't know what the deal is with Steve Jobs last week, but anyway.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
What's the deal with Steve Jobs?
Sorry, I've been watching a lot of sci-fi.
Anyway, it's Age of Adaline. It's really good. Oh, like I was saying, it does that sci-fi thing lately, like The Time Traveler's Wife and what was that movie? Was it In Time about the family and the men in the family have the ability to go back in time and stuff?
Love that movie.
Where it's like, it's a sci-fi movie, but it's so slathered in all this other stuff that the sci-fi is kind of just it just happens to be part of it as opposed to being the focus of it, like a true science fiction movie.
Mm-hmm.
About time. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool.
So this one's good. Go all check right. it out. Age of Adaline and Blake Lively is just... She's just the sweetest thing in this movie.
I like
She's
her.
Awesome.
I like her. She's in that new, oh no, I'm stranded on a rock in the middle of something with a shark around movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. She's got some kind of like MacGyver. She got to MacGyver her way out of being stranded on some like offshore rock where a shark is circling it.
Nice. Great. And she's Mrs. Ryan Reynolds too.
Yeah, that's right. Well, she was or is?
Yeah, she is. Still just had a baby.
Right. But she was with Leo DiCaprio before that.
Long, long, long time ago.
What, like 2 years?
No, like...
Hollywood time a long
it
time
it hasn't
ago.
Been that long because Ryan Reynolds hasn't been that long since he's not been with what's her beak speed girl what's her name it's
oh Sandra
Bullock
Hansen
yeah. Oh Scarlett Johansson is who I'm thinking of yeah
okay no, yeah they've been married since 2012
yeah that's not very long ago. This is like Nerdtacular 2012. Think about it.
That's Hollywood time. That's Hollywood 4 years.
2011, there's an E! Online Blake Lively and DiCaprio split.
Yeah. They were.
So.
Yeah. So there you go. It's because of the bear. When the bear attacked him, she was done.
You know what 5 years is?
What?
I had two babies in 5 years.
There
that's
you go.
A lot.
See?
I know. Yeah,
ask Nicole if the last 5 years seems like a short period of time.
My 11-year-old 16 now. I'm with you. I get it. Right. All right. Here is the here's my clip, and you guys will totally know what this is, and I'm kind of cheating, so here it is.
This country is founded by people who were in the aliens, man. George Washington, man. He was in a cult. Oh, and the cult was in the aliens, man. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, man, they were way into that type of stuff, man. You're getting air from there, man. It's no good.
It was the last day of school.
Miss Crawford, I was thinking that maybe you and I can get together over the summer. I mean, it'll be legal. I mean, we can make...
It was the first day of summer vacation.
Do you guys know anything about a party here tonight?
No, sir.
It was a time they will never forget.
There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak.
I thought he was cute.
Well, that's this.
You thought he was cute? Then.
Do you realize when he graduated, we were like 3 years old?
All right. So
it'd be better if you did find a movie with a name in the title.
I like these young girls.
Well, that stoner kid, his name was Dazed. So,
yeah, uh-huh. And the other guy was named Confused.
Confused.
Yeah.
The
he's
Jewish
a rookie
guy was confused.
Cop with a heart of gold.
And it's a little bit of a cheat also because I think it's even been on recommendals before, but it is it's maybe my favorite coming of age movie of all time.
It's a great coming of age movie.
I love it. We see
it's not on Netflix.
Many multiple times. It's on, hold on. I'll say where it's at.
My DVR.
So I found out something. Somebody in the chat room cleared it up. The Steve Jobs that Just Watch links to, even though it shows the new Steve Jobs film, it links to the biopic.
Ooh, sneaky.
So Just Watch gets it wrong, really, is what it is. It's not sneaky as much as it's just incorrect.
Amazon streaming is where it is currently showing Dazed and Confused.
Okay.
So it was on Netflix last time I saw it for FilmSack, and it's a great movie. It is absolutely worth watching. It's Linklater's best early work, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And the first movie you'll ever see.
It's
Matthew
not streaming on Netflix, on Amazon Prime either.
Sure it is. Hold on.
It says it is on...
Yeah, it is. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, you know what?
On Amazon, and it is not.
How come this says it is?
Just Watch says it is, yeah.
It must have just changed.
I don't trust those sites. I go directly to the source.
Well, listen, you are a picky mother scratcher, and you know what's up.
$3.99 and rent it, you cheap
bastards.
Yeah,
rent it. It's $4. Just get it. It's a great movie, and everyone comes of age, and they're all named Dazed. Okay. Nicole, it's your turn. What do you got there?
All right. So here we go.
Hers will actually be streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
It will be. I have two for you.
Okay.
One that's streaming on Showtime, and another one that's streaming on Netflix.
All right.
So I'll give you the Showtime one first.
I've been instructed to refuse any further charges on your room account, and to direct you in writing to please vacate the premises by the end of the month.
What about Sing Sang? I wear 100.
Royal had lived in the Lindbergh Palace Hotel for 22 years.
Can you pay her in cash?
He was a prominent litigator until the mid-80s, when he was disbarred and briefly imprisoned. No one in his family had spoken to him in 3 years.
Read it back to me so far, Pietro.
Dear Eli, I'm in the middle of the ocean. I haven't left my room in 4 days. I've never been more lonely in my life, and I think I'm in love with Marco.
New paragraph.
Richie had retired from professional tennis at 26. His last match had been widely discussed in the media.
Any guesses?
That's a great one. It's Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, yes, Royal Tenenbaums. Gosh dang it. I didn't know that, what's his name, narrated that? Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
I didn't either.
I didn't until I watched it again. I was like, oh, hey.
I own that like on three different formats, and I never knew that. That's crazy. I love that movie.
Really great movie. Oh, that was Gene Hackman at the beginning. He plays Royal, the father of the family. The next one that was, I always get them confused.
It's Luke Wilson.
Owen. No, yeah, Luke.
Yeah, Luke. Well, Owen Wilson's in it too, but yes.
He is.
They're both in it.
Yeah, later on. Yeah.
Luke is the one that's in love with Gwyneth. Marth.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paltrow's character.
Pepper Potts, yeah. Yep, she's in there. She has a little lesbian thing at the beginning. What else?
And then Bill Murray's in it too as her husband.
Yeah, Beard Man.
Yep.
Y'all, Danny Glover's in it. He's in there. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So
it's a great movie. It's really good. You know, some people don't like Wes Anderson. I personally love him. I love the movies. I love the quirkiness about it. I love the storytelling and like just the visuals that happen throughout the movie and things they don't say. And
who doesn't like Wes Anderson? I'd like to talk to that person.
I don't think Patrick does.
Oh, well, Patrick's French. He doesn't know.
What does he know from good movies? They like Jerry Lewis, you know, out there.
It might be Mulholland Drive.
David Lynch.
Yeah. He hates David Lynch.
Really?
Yes.
I don't love David Lynch, but I appreciate his artistry. I just don't. It's not really my style necessarily, but I kind of get that he's a genius. Patrick's crazy. Very strong
feelings. David Lynch did a Duran Duran concert film a few years back that is one of the weirdest concert movies I've ever seen.
Oh, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Did I talk about that on this show? I know I talked about it somewhere.
I don't think so.
During the entirety of Duran Duran performing "Come Undone," like their, you know, one of their more recent hits. There's superimposed black and white video of a guy hitting a barbecue grill with a spatula for 3 minutes, making the hot dogs dance up and down.
Oh my! That is if that's
not David Lynchian, I don't know what is.
Wow.
Oh, that's funny.
His movies are weird. The one about the guy on the lawnmower is my favorite. The rated G one. Yeah. So weird.
Yes. The only
rated G David Lynch will ever make in his life. Wow. Yeah,
Royal Tenenbaums. You can, if you have Showtime, you can also do a 7-day free trial through Amazon and watch it if you have never seen this. Angelica Houston is in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you're a real fan, you've already bought it on the huge collection DVD thing like I did. And if you didn't, then you're lame. So forget it.
So many, there's a lot of, I mean, it's a weird family and the three children, of course, is the coming of age because they're growing up. Mm-hmm. You have some flashbacks and the whole family dynamics. It's so weird.
And Ben Stiller's character is great. That's maybe my favorite Ben Stiller role actually ever. Oh. And I love that all his kids and him all wear the stupid track suits. And there's just something about that movie's maybe my favorite Wes Anderson movie. It's really, really good. Yep.
All right. So here's your second one. This one's streaming on Netflix.
All right.
There's no name in the title, but it is a coming of age movie.
All right.
One of my favorites.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late. My mom made me put on my jacket, and then she made me do the dishes.
Oh, your poor little mommy made you do the big fat dishes.
Hey, you want a s'more? S'more what?
No,
you want a s'more. I haven't had anything yet, so how can I have some more of nothing?
Shut up!
You're killing me, Smalls.
It's Sandlot.
It is Sandlot.
And that was filmed like a mile from my house.
When
I grew up, and it was filmed in Midvale, Utah, in this little back lot that's still there, I think.
What an
awesome movie.
Kids coming together and, you know, tackling the big dog over the fence that took their Babe Ruth baseball. I just love it. It's really funny.
No one ever talks about the great role that Dennis Leary plays. He plays this father... stepdad or something. I can't remember. Is he stepdad?
Yeah, that's right.
But it's super like not his normal thing at all, and it's really good. And there's a lot of stuff like that in that movie. It's a great movie. The sequel sucks. It's horrible.
Is that the one that's on Showtime or where?
No, Sandlot is on Netflix.
Okay.
Royal Tenenbaums. That's on Showtime.
That's on Showtime. Okay.
Yeah. Cool. So there you go.
Yeah, good stuff. I like it. What's our theme for next week? Roll the dice.
Theme for next week.
Yeah.
What?
Most of the Sandlot kids are in their late 30s now. We know. Thanks, Jarum. We are all old.
The setting of the movie
in
one vehicle, building, or neighborhood.
Mm.
Okay.
One car, one neighborhood.
So the whole movie takes place in either a car, a neighborhood, or a building.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm thinking about how I can cheat around that. Okay.
You know,
you're already figuring out how you can cheat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. I'm thinking of it now.
All right. Well, here, that's only one part of this equation. Yeah. You also have to have characters that are dopey, sneezy, sleepy, or bashful.
Okay. But not literally one of the kids.
No,
dwarves.
Not.
No. Okay.
There's only one movie that would that would qualify.
And that takes place in a cave.
Yeah.
A mine.
In a caveman. All right.
That have those traits. So
okay.
as you're picking your movie, you need to have one character that you could classify as dopey, sneezy, sleepy, or bashful.
Okay. I'm in.
So, like, for instance, in True Romance, there was a sleepy guy named Brad Pitt on the couch. He was
sleepy. Right.
Smoking a Honey Bear bong.
Yes. That's right. Well, that's a great scene.
Yep.
All right. I'm in. This sounds good. Nicole Spag on Twitter. She'll probably post this stuff and what we talked about today. So watch for that. And she'll do it not under the influence of narcotics. So that'll be good. Nicole, have a great day.
You too.
Take it easy. Bye. We'll see you later. Bye.
See ya.
All right.
Hey, you remember that that X-Wings video thing that that we did last year, that I did last year, the voiceover stuff?
Yeah, I do.
Apparently, the guy who put that together actually got Anthony from, you know, this Harrison Ford sound-alike was the guy who does the Millennium Falcon sound.
Oh, no way.
Voiceover in there, yeah.
Really?
So.
Brian, one degree of fame.
Yeah, no. Not at all thinking that, just thinking, all right, well, there you go. There's That's further awesome. Proof that this guy needs to be the young Han Solo.
Hearing his voice and seeing the way he looked, I'm shocked it's not already happening.
Yeah.
I think they've already got a guy, and that makes
me
sad.
Well, they need to fire him and replace him with this
fire
guy.
That guy, get this other guy, he's the real guy, mm-hmm. and now here's another real guy.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man... is always Tom Merritt, who is on the phone with us now. Hello, Tom Merritt.
I am on the phone. I am using a rotary dial phone.
I'm good. I was just thinking the other day, speaking of David Lynch movies, you know that scene in Lost Highway where the mysterious man walks up to him and hands him a cell phone in 1996 or whatever and says, okay. Call me at your house. He calls the house and it's the same guy at his house and he's kind of messing with his head or whatever. Yeah, I don't know if anyone remembers that scene or not, but I think that was the first time I'd ever seen a cell phone before.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And so I don't know what that means or whatever, but it stuck out of my mind and always will. Like, even if I see somebody pull out their smartphone, a little piece of my brain goes back to Lost Highway.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of cool.
I don't know the first time I ever saw a cell phone, like, on TV. I can think back to, like, Magnum P.I., and the villainous businessman with a phone in his car, which was really just a rotary dial phone sitting on his dash. And I was like, how does that work?
Oh, weird. Anyway, yeah.
The first time I ever used a cell phone was in radio, where we used cell phones for remote broadcasts.
Mm. And that worked pretty well. I guess it would have worked well at the time. It was an expensive solution even then, though, right?
Those were big brick ones, right?
Oh, that
had to be plugged into your cigarette lighter the whole time.
Yeah, we had to actually plug it into a generator.
Wow.
And it was crazy. But it was better than having to use the RF modulator. No one could stand near because it would give you brain cancer.
Sterilize you or something, cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, it could cause damage because it had a high effective radiate power.
Yeah.
And so the cell phone was a lot safer.
Yeah.
You didn't need an engineer on site. You could just take it out with you.
Do you remember the first cell phone you ever bought for your own self?
Oh, yeah. I was a very late adopter with cell phones. Oh. I thought they were useless. I'm like, I don't want to be contacted when I'm away from home.
Right.
I don't see the need for that. I'm not a businessman who's driving a car in Magnum PI in 1978. So I didn't get one until 2000. Mm. Was it 2000?
Wow.
I think so. When I moved and I wasn't going to have phone service. And I was like, okay, well, I actually kind of need it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's about time. I'll finally get a cell phone. So I got one of those little Samsung flip phones on Sprint.
Wow. Think of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd gotten something similar, some crappy little Nokia thing. And it was.
Yeah, mine was a Nokia.
98 or 9, I think. I got it pretty close to the millennium. I was, in fact, I remember having a phone that we were worried was not going to have the time rollover right on the Y2K thing. Like, that was a concern. It's just so stupid now. My gosh, that was stupid.
Yeah, mine had the antenna. Did yours have an antenna?
It did. He had to pull it out.
It pulls out.
Yep.
Yeah. Completely useless.
Yeah. I think mine broke.
It's made to break off is what it's made for.
Yeah. That was a dark times. But now we live in the light, and part of that light is Tom Merritt, who brings light to technology news and stuff each and every day, including today on the Daily Tech News Show at 2:30 Mountain, which involves me, in fact. I love Wednesdays. Wednesdays are my day. It's also our day to have Tom. So, Tom, what's going on in the tech world?
Well, Computex is going on in Taiwan right now. So chip news galore, chip fans, all the chips, including a $1,700 chip from Intel for gamers that was announced yesterday. You can check that out on yesterday's DTNS. Patrick Beja and I both had a good laugh at how we both kind of are tempted to buy it, even though we can't afford it and don't need it in any way.
Yeah.
Just make something that expensive and suddenly you want it. Yeah. But today's news, among today's news, is Microsoft opening up, I should not say opening up, Microsoft making available Windows Holographic for other companies to use on devices. I'm sure there's a licensing fee involved, so it's not really open. But this is the operating system that runs on the HoloLens. So Microsoft saying, yeah, HoloLens, think of it as the Microsoft Surface, right? We're not saying nobody can use Windows on other tablets or other two-in-ones. We're just making the flagship model. You guys should make other devices that run this as well, including virtual reality devices, any kind of augmented reality. They call HoloLens mixed reality. And they have a nice, quirky little video up that shows kind of what their concept is, which is essentially I could be in a VR headset running Windows Holographic and still communicate or have objects sent back and forth with somebody doing an augmented reality. So the video is a woman is in an empty space using what looks like a HoloLens to set up their flagship retail store virtually so they can get the design right. And she needs help from her coworkers. So one of them, who's walking around in the office with his HoloLens on, goes into an empty room so he can transport into her virtual system. Her space. And then another one who's in VR playing a game goes from his VR system into hers, and he's got an avatar. He's all blocky. And then they go into his virtual reality to get inspired, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's this little Navi-looking thing, kind of little sprite that goes in all of their worlds and goes, hey, you need to talk to so-and-so. I want to have a meeting.
Please tell me it's constantly going, hey.
And also, please tell me.
It's like a cross between Navi and Clippy.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping. It sounds like Clippy.
It looks like you're trying to set up a bookcase.
So that sounds kind of cool to me. Like, you know, I don't know how practical it ends up being, but that's the dream, right? Is all of this stuff is cross, you know, that we're all talking across platforms and devices not stuck in one brand or whatever.
Without cameras in each of these locations, how do the people, does everyone just appear as kind of like little blocky dactyl nightmare people in everybody else's?
You know, they show the HoloLens person show up as himself, which I assume just meant he had been scanned. I don't know. Whereas the guy with the VR glasses shows up as a blocky avatar. I guess you just choose what kind of avatar.
What you want to appear as. Yeah. Huh.
Well, I love this idea. I mean, I don't know, I've heard people, you know, being pretty silly about it on Twitter. I know, big shock. But I love this idea of crossing those streams. Like, you know, think of it in a more practical term today, people listening. Like, if you took... Imagine if I could be playing Diablo and Tom is playing Civ 5 or 6. Okay, you're playing Civilization.
By then, probably Civ 9, but yeah, sure.
Wouldn't it be fun if my little dude could just, my little mage wizard man could just walk into the scene, like where you're working on, like expanding your city, just a little tiny version of me and go, hey, Tom, I just want to see how things are going.
Listen!
Listen! But that idea is a really cool idea, and it's totally non-existent at this point. What they've demonstrated, or what they're trying to demonstrate here, is this possibility, and that's really intriguing to me.
Yeah. So. And Microsoft, again, continuing the Satya mania here by saying that we are going to make a platform for people to build on, as well as making an example. And everybody's been wondering, like, well, why isn't Microsoft coming out with a VR headset? HoloLens is a ways down the road. You think that they would want to come up with a competitor to PlayStation VR. And this probably is why. They want lots of people to come up with VR headsets that work with the Windows platform, which then would make it work with Xbox, which now runs on Windows 10. This new holographic, or it's not new, but the Windows holographic platform will come with the shell and interaction model, some perception APIs, and the Xbox Live services, at least the ones that work with virtual reality, augmented reality, et cetera. Mm. So they are thinking bigger than we want to make a device. They're saying we want to be the platform that all the devices run on.
Yeah, which is a really interesting notion. Boy, what a difference a single CEO can make potentially. I mean, none of this is proven out yet, right? Like,
I wonder, does this mean the Oculus Rift would switch to the Windows holographic platform? Has it been secretly incorporating the Windows holographic platform somehow? Because, you know, the Oculus comes with an Xbox controller and everybody's saying that, well, that's going to be the tie-in. Oculus, you know, come and bundled with an Xbox at some point.
Yeah, there's rumors about an improved Xbox that is similar to the rumors about the PlayStation, which I don't, you know, none of this has been completely substantiated. But if any of that's true, a pack in Oculus or Oculus as the recommended companion VR device makes, you know, makes a bunch of sense. Also, in light of kind of recent weirdness with the Oculus and piracy and some other things, it might make sense for them to align themselves more with somebody like Microsoft. There's a lot of stuff to watch with that, but E3, sadly, I don't think is going to tell us much of any of this. I don't think either company is in a place to talk about a new version of consoles, maybe slimmed down versions, but I don't think either of them is going to announce anything. They have too much on the line with other stuff. Like, Sony needs to plant their feet with VR and say, this is the year for PSVR. Get ready for it. It's going to be rad.
It works with your current PS4. I feel you're right. That's what we're going to hear from both of them, is some version of the PlayStation and Xbox you buy today is the one that will keep being, you know, supporting everything. For the foreseeable future.
Yeah. The message can't be, hey, that thing you bought that you thought was great is not going to work now, so hurry up and buy this other one. Like, they're not. If that's the message, they're both in trouble. I think, with fans anyway. So, it's going to be a weird. It's about a week and a half, 2 weeks from now. Right after the movie, I think E3 kicks up.
Week and a half-ish.
So it's going to be nuts.
Can't wait to see it.
Speaking of which, Tom and Brian will both be here for the Warcraft viewing.
Ooh, looking forward to that. Right.
Still a few tickets left, so if you haven't picked yours up, I'd do it quick because they're really going quick. They're almost gone. I don't even, maybe they're even not there, but you'd know if you went. Just go to frogpants.com/Warcraft and come see us. Come hang out and watch a movie that's hopefully good.
Hug us for uncomfortably long periods of time.
Yeah, especially Tom. He won't. He won't push you away. It's fine.
Especially Tom.
Scott always does. Why not?
Why not? Yeah, I can never let go. We need someone to interrupt. Sweet. Well, what else is happening that you'd like to mention before we go? I know we got Daily Tech News Show later today. I'm very much looking forward to that. Anything else on the docket?
Yeah, man, it's June 1st, which is Patron Day. The first of the month is always Patron Day. So a huge thanks to everybody who supports Daily Tech News Show. We have lots of plans. We want to do more international coverage from Peter Wells, which is our next milestone goal. We have some extra weekly content, monthly content. We're even toying around with the idea of a headlines-only version of the show. So the more you support, the more we can do. If people like what we do over there at Daily Tech News Show, go to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
I agree. Happy Patreon Day, everybody. May your patrons never end. Tom Barrett, everybody. Ace Detect on Twitter. Take it easy. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye now.
See you.
Can't find the hang-up. There it is. Oh, there it is. All right, Brian.
All right, Scott.
Time has come for me to play a phone call. This is one here. It's a Pokemon idea. You ready?
Yeah.
There you go.
I had to pause the podcast as I was listening to it because you mentioned an idea about drawing the Pokemon as you think they would look like with their name and then comparing them to the real Pokemon. Holy crap, if you did that, say you did that for like the original 151 Pokemon. I'm a dirty millennial, so I have very fond memories of that game and all of those Pokemon. So I would give you all my money if you did that and put it into a book, or even if you just did 10 of them. Man, I would be so interested in purchasing that. And I think there's probably a good number of people that would also buy that. All right, good job. Bye.
Well, that'd be nice because the plan, if I can do it, it's a big time commitment, and I've done two so far. But if I do all 151, that will be the plan, is we'll do something like that. There'll also be a video connected with this where I will react to how different the actual Pokemon look to the ones I did.
Nice.
So that'll be fun. Watch for that.
I'm putting a name in the show notes. Should call it Pokemon.
Pokemon, that's not bad. Faux-Kemon.
Yeah.
That's not bad. I'm going to keep that in mind.
All right. Keep it in mind.
Well, this guy is clearly not of our generation, so we're going to play his call.
Hey, Scott. Just listened to yesterday's episode of TMS and said smells like elderberries. I'm just kind of wondering what kind of phrase that is because I've never heard it before. Love the show, though.
Your mother smelt of elderberries. Okay. So that is a phrase from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Correct.
Duh. We're kid. Who are your parents? How come they didn't introduce you to that fantastic film?
Why didn't they make you watch
film?
That movie?
Oh my gosh. It's such part of the fabric of my young life.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was no getting around that. So yes, if somebody says to you, you smell of elderberries, that's what they're referring to. And when you see the movie, you'll see the scene and go, oh, that's what they're talking about. So your homework, kid, is to watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Okay? It's not.
I'm going to look on Just Watch and see if it's streaming anywhere to help this guy out.
Yeah, see if it is. And then click it and make sure it is.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I think that must have just changed on that one because it was up there before. I don't know what happened there.
Let's see.
Oh, the nudity things are still coming in.
It's it doesn't come up under. I've got to do a search for Holy Grail because it's. There we go. Well, I don't even see it coming up when I do a search for Holy Grail. Crazy.
Yeah, that's weird. I know it exists because we've seen it.
Of course. Well, yeah.
We know it's out there.
I'm sure the movie exists, but it's not coming up under Monty Python and the Holy Grail or just Holy Grail. So.
So how's it go? Your father was a hamster and your mother smelt of elderberries. Yeah. Yes. So you'll just find the movie, watch it, and your life will be changed forever.
And then watch Monty Python, The Life of Brian.
Yeah. Fantastic movie. Then watch.
And maybe The Meaning of Life. I really like Meaning of Life was the first one I ever saw. So
The Meaning of Life is the truest to the original Monty Python show.
Yes. Yes. As far as just like a collection of skits and.
Yeah. People don't realize it and they're not used to it. So it throws them for a loop because all they've seen is the movies. But if you'd seen and appreciated the TV show, then that movie is like a straight up tribute to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked it.
I really did too.
Fishy, fishy, fish.
Where?
If you would like to leave your own voicemails in similar manner and fashion, 801-471-0462 is the number to use, or you can email your thoughts, comments, attachments, whatever, to themorningstream@gmail.com. It is Patron Day. Thank you so much for those of us, those of you who support us at patreon.com/TMS. You guys are awesome. We really appreciate it. Let's keep it going. Let's keep rad stuff happening. We've got those changes I mentioned will be coming in a form of a post to you patrons. To the different levels and stuff, you're going to really like what we're doing.
So you're going to see it there first if you're a patron.
Yeah, I'll detail them more here once it's up, but I don't want to blow that until you guys have seen them. So once it's up, we'll talk more about it on the show likely next week, so watch for that. Show streamed every day at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. Big thanks to those guys. Frogpants.com/TMS is the website. Everything else you can find there, including our Twitter accounts, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream. If you'd like to follow us, that's going to do it. How about music to go to away
music.
From?
Music. All right. This one is a request going out to David Taylor, who says, hello, Shooty and Bang Bang. This is David Zaitam in the Tadpool when I can listen live. June 1st, I turn, oh, your God's 50, making me 1 year older than Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I would love to hear a cover of Fixing a Hole. Perhaps the George Burns version from the 1978 Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band movie.
Weird.
May we all have this energy at that age. If not, then can you play something Zydeco? Thanks, David. Well, no. Hell, why on earth would we not want to play the George Burns version of the Beatles Fixing a Hole? This comes from that Bee Gees and Peter Frampton movie that sometime we need to schedule for FilmSack. I think that's ripe for FilmSacking.
All right.
It's got your Aerosmith in. It's got your Alice Cooper in it. Yeah. It's got your Steve Martin and Maxwell, the Silver Hammer and all that.
Sure.
And it's got George Burns. Say goodnight, Gracie. And came out in 1978 from the soundtrack. Here is George Burns and Fixing a Hole.
I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering. Where it will go. I'm filling the cracks that ran through the door that kept my mind from wandering. Where it will go. And it really doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right. Where I belong, I'm right. Where I belong. See the people standing there with disagree and never win, and wonder why they don't get in my door. I'm painting my room in a colorful way, and when my mind is wandering, there I will go. Yesterday, and I still go. I'm fixing my hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering. Where it will go, where it will go, where it will go, where it will go.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Become an internaut.
No.